Put me here. Just put me here. Yeah? Oh, where are you? Oh, there you are. You going to come up? And Magda and Jonathan, you going to come up? You guys want to come up? And Irene, have you got... Irene, have you got anything you want to say? Yeah? Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'm just going to talk a little bit about like what's been happening on the when we've been going out in London. Ministering. So, do you want to start us?
Okay. So, basically, we went out 2 weeks ago on Saturday. That was my first time. And it was really amazing because, for me specifically, I was quite nervous. I'd never really prayed for healing for people before. And God was just really gracious and allowed me to even see healings the first time that I went. And we prayed for, I think, three of the people that I prayed for had something to do with their, either their back or their shoulder blade. Something was wrong and it was bothering them for some time. And I prayed for those three girls and they got healed. One of them was so touched that... One of them was so touched that she was even willing to ask Jesus into her life. So that was really, both of them, actually two of them, yeah.
Yeah, so John and I went together as well as a team. I think God thinks we're a good team, by the way. And so it was funny because I went to the toilet and then John was praying and I was praying in the toilet as well. And we were like, so God, where do you want us to go? And individually, he both told us to go to the prayer room because there's a prayer room in the Stratford. It's like a multi-faith prayer room, but it's run by Christians. So we thought, okay, let's go up there. And so we went up there and first just, you know, started talking to the ladies, like two ladies were running this and that day, administrating everything. And we just talked to them and chatted with them. And then John had a word. And what was it?
Don't remember.
Something, was it about the eyes, I think, or something like that. Anyways, and so we prayed for the daughter for the one. And then, long story short, at the end, we invited them to come to Bern. And then one lady says, well, it really depends on the weather because I have arthritis. And it hurts me usually from my back all the way down to my leg. And so we said, okay, can we pray for you? And she was like, yes, you should pray for me. So at the same time, a Muslim was coming in. So we went into a separate room and we started praying for her. And at the end, she's like a little bit bigger, but at the end, she just stood there and was like, do you feel any difference? She's just standing there, it's like, God's working in mysterious ways. And then she started bending down all the way. And she was completely healed from arthritis. So that's pretty cool.
Hi, everyone. We went out with the team. Was it 2 weeks ago? Huh? Okay. I thought it was too loud. Okay, we went out with the team 2 weeks ago for evangelism. And in my team, it was a bit of a challenge. We approached so many people. They didn't want to hear the word. They were saying they're atheists, but we just kept going. For that day, we felt that, although we reached out to some and we told them that, you know, that God loves them, but we didn't actually get to minister to anyone. And so... towards the end, I asked the team if they could pray for my aunt. She got involved in an accident and she broke her left leg from the ankle down completely. All the bones were shattered. And we called her in Kenya and we prayed for her over the phone. And and Magda prayed, and Kendrick, and you prayed as well. And the team were praying and it's amazing. And I received a phone call from her. She's saying the doctors are saying there's a drastic change. So, you know. Yeah, so God is touching people all over the world, and I would encourage anyone to go for it. And if you have anybody sick, wherever they are, you know, God's love can still reach them. God bless.
You want to say anything?
She said it all.
What's that?
She said it all.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's cool. Yeah, we went out also, Saturday? It was Monday. We went out on Monday, and this time we went to Westfield Mall, but it was quite hard, like, to minister. Like, a lot of people didn't really want to talk to us. I think everyone found it that way. I don't know why it was like that. But we still saw a few miracles. And then afterwards we met up, and Pumi, like, she was ill, like, you've been ill for a while. And she was so excited from the last week. She called me and she's like, oh, Josh, I want to come now and pray with you guys. Pray for people and stuff. And so quite a few people had to go, and we decided to go to a different place. And Pumi came, and then we went into Stratford Mall, like the other mall, not Whistle, but the little one. Actually, I'll just quickly say this as well. We got into the doors, and there's this guy in the wheelchair. I don't know where he was from, Bulgaria or Russia, I don't know. Anyway, he was in the wheelchair, and he was next to another guy. I think he was a Muslim guy. And I was like, man, like, can we pray for you? And he told me he had, like, arthritis or some disease in his hips, both of his hips. And he said, like, people have prayed for him, like, so many times. Like, thousands of times. And I was like, oh, come on, man, we love you. We just quickly pray for you. And he's like, ah. And then the Muslim guy started getting real angry. And he's like, he doesn't want you to pray. Just go away. Walk away. You know? He's getting really angry. And so I was like, man, I got out my wallet and I gave him £5. And then the guy, he was abusing me, you know, he goes, you can pray. And he's like, you can pray. Like, the guy in the wheelchair let me pray as well, you know. So we prayed for him, but we didn't see anything change right there. But, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs, like, if you give a gift, it opens up a door, you know. So that's the way you can minister, just give them. But anyway, we went into the mall, and we saw this old, really old, quite elderly lady with a crutch and stuff, a walking stick. And she had arthritis in her hip, and she said she had a broken bone. Since 1995, she'd been like struggling. I think she walks with like a crooked back or something as well. And we prayed for her, and I think we prayed 3 times. And I think the first time was like 20% better, and then it got to 80% better. She was like 80% healed, and she was a Christian as well. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. But she wasn't. I didn't think, like, you know, when people get healed, they really get healed. Like, they most people like. A shock, and they're like, wow, I'm healed, you know. But she wasn't like that. She was like, oh, that's good, you know. And I was like, okay, maybe she's just saying that she's healed, you know, like 80%. And so she had like a walking stick. I said, can you walk? And I tried to grab a walking stick, and she like held onto it. She's like letting that go. And anyway, like, we walked off, and then we saw these really old people, two old ladies. They were really old, and one had arthritis, and Kendrick prayed for her. And I think it was getting a bit loose, it was loosening up. And then the other lady, her friend, said to me, there's one thing you can't heal, you know? And I was like, what's that? She said it was her eyes, like she had a cataract forming in her eye, and she was like really blind, like she couldn't really see well. And so I said, take your glasses off. And I said, can you read that, like in the top, like this thing on the wall? And she was like, if I squint, no, I can't. She couldn't read it. And I was like, okay. So we prayed for her. And I said, shut your eyes, open your eyes, shut your eyes. And I said, open your eyes right now, look. And she read it perfectly, every word. And she couldn't read the smaller printing or anything, but she couldn't read that before, and she read that. And then we were walking back the same way, and that old lady was sitting on this bench, and she saw us, and she's like, guys, I've been looking for you guys. She's been walking up and down. She said, I'm 100% healed. I can walk straight now. And she said, like, all the pain's gone. Hallelujah. And she said, like, I feel happy inside. Like, I mean, like, you know, when you're in pain and stuff, like, you feel sad, you know. And she, like, you feel down. But she said, inside I feel happy, this little sweet lady. And I got a testimony and stuff on video. And then we went outside, and Pumi got to pray for another guy, and he got healed as well. So we're seeing awesome things, and God's doing big things, and God doesn't want us just to believe for little things. God wants us to believe for, like, impossible things. I mean, everything's impossible. Headache's impossible to heal, so why not get someone out of a wheelchair, you know, or whatever. But the more we press into it, the more we start praying for people in wheelchairs, the more they're going to get out, you know. If you only pay for a few, like, I mean, you don't have that much, that good percent or whatever. Yeah, but I just want to quickly share one thing that the Lord has been speaking to me just today. A little revelation, is it all right? Okay. You guys can take your seats if you like. Yeah, it's awesome. Lord. Yeah, God's so good, man. And, you know, like in the greatest commandment Jesus said is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? And the thing is, like, we love God. Like, if you're here, you're not wasting your time. You came here to serve God and to worship him because you love him, you know? And the Lord knows that. But one of the biggest things that stops us from entering into his presence and connecting with God and going into a further relationship is ourselves. And this is crazy. This is awesome. I'm excited to share this. Like, the Lord was just been speaking to me, and it's amazing. God created us to be one, like one with him. Jesus said, you know, in the glory you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And Jesus, when he walked this earth, he walked in union with God, and right, like 100% relationship with God. Everything the Father was saying, he was hearing, you know, and he prayed that we would be one also with God, but also with people, yeah. But there's something that stops us from being in that union, and it's not our will or our love for God, because we all love God and we want to serve him and do what is right if you're in Christ. But to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor, the Lord was speaking to me and saying that first you need to love yourself, you know, and that's a big burden that a lot of people carry. Like, you can come into the presence of God and start worshiping him, but then there's these things, these strongholds, these things that are pulling you down, you know? And it's like stopping you from entering into that realm where God's called us into, to enter boldly into the throne room of grace, you know? And hallelujah. And so the Lord was saying that, like, you know, in the kingdom, everything works in three. Like, the government of heaven works in a bench of three. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's three, a trinity. There's faith, hope, love. Everything you'll see, like in the Bible, works in threes. And first, you know, the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the next one's like itself. If you want to do what God wants you to do, the two greatest commands, you need to love yourself. And God created you amazing, you know. And so the biggest thing that the Lord's just been speaking to me now is just to. Like, people say you need to receive, and this is a big thing as well, to receive the love of God. First, you need to receive it. But before you can receive it, you need to love yourself. And there's a lot of shame because we think, oh, we want to do a lot of things for God, and we want to minister, we want to pray and heal the sick and do these things. But first, we need to love ourselves, you know, that we are amazing. We are created in the image of God. And he sees us that way. He sees us as amazing, you know, and he's calling out for us just to stop and just start thinking. This sounds weird, but just start thinking about yourself and who you are. That everyone's been given gifts and abilities and talents, and just to start thanking God for those things. Start smiling and being happy about who you are. That some people have been blessed to sing, and God's given that as a gift, and you sing with all your heart, you know. Some people have been given gifts to play football or to encourage people, and you know, we're all amazing. We're all amazing in Christ, and we need to receive ourselves first. And so I just pray right now. I just close your eyes and just connect with God right now. Father, I just thank you for this word, this revelation, God, that you just downloaded from heaven, God, right now. And Lord, we just come before you right now, God, and we just say that we're sorry, God, for not honoring who we are first, Lord, who we are, who you called us to be first, God. That we're called, Lord, and we just thank you, God, that we are your chosen people, God. That we can never love you until we love ourselves. We can never love people until we love ourselves first. And so I just say right now, God, I repent, God. I repent of not valuing who I am. I repent of feeling shame, of being ashamed and and feeling condemned, God. I thank you, Lord, that you created me to be amazing, God. And that's who I am, and that's who we are. We are amazing. And I just release, Lord, your healing, God, your grace into our hearts right now to receive ourselves, as who we are in you, God. Our sin has been washed away. And I just say, Lord, I just say of everyone that you are valuable, that you've been bought at a great price. And start seeing yourselves as the Father sees you. He doesn't see you with any sin. He doesn't see you as shameful, but he sees you as his children, you know, his sons and daughters. The ones that he gave his life for. He gave his life for you guys to have you. He died in love with you. He died in love with you on the cross. He died in love with you. And he rose you to life in him, to brand new life, free from yourselves, free from the world, free from guilt and shame. And so I just release it over you right now. And I thank you, God, as we receive ourselves and receive the love that you've given to us. Lord, I thank you that we're going to be able to love you, Lord, with all our heart, our mind and our soul and our strength. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to be able to love one another, God, as you have loved us, God. And I just release that right now, God. Yeah, hallelujah. Receive that, receive that, receive that, receive that. Receive the love of God right now. Receive the love of God right now. He burns for you. He burns for you. His love burns for you. His love burns for you. You are his chosen people, the one that he thinks about, the one that he delights in. His soul, his heart, his everything, all he is, the universe, the planets are nothing special to him, but you are. All of creation groans for you. You are anointed, you are holy, you are his chosen people. You are his chosen people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Release. I thank you for identity being restored in us, God, in your church, Lord. I thank you for identity being restored, God. That we were sinners. We were sinners, but now we are children of the living God. We are brand new creations. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we're going to walk in the fullness of Christ. Like the Lord, we're all on a process, you know, but like a lot of people like me, like, you know, I'm a bit impatient, you know, I want to get there, I want to be transported, I want to go into heaven and see the Father and see Jesus, you know, I want to be walking in so much power that people like fall over when they walk near me by the power of God. I want to see people healed just by my shadow. But, you know, that's where I'm going. But where I am right now, I rejoice in, you know, every day is a gift from God. And the Lord wants you to rejoice and be encouraged and enjoy what you have right now. Look forward to what you're going to. But don't waste your time, like, worrying about the future, you know. Because a lot of people, like, they maybe people in the world or whatever, you book a holiday, like, in 6 months' time. And you're looking forward. Everything's about you don't want to live. You want that those 6 months go as quickly as they can, so you can get to the holiday, you know, to your dream or whatever, you know. But those 6 months, the Lord wants to do things in your life, you know, and He wants you to live a life abundantly every single day of your life. And so, hallelujah for the holiday, but hallelujah for the day that the Lord's given us, you know. And so, yeah, the Lord just wants you to enjoy the process that you are in right now, the season that you are in. Like he's forming Christ in you. And when he forms Christ in you, he's breaking off things that aren't in him. You know, when he starts forming Christ in you, then you're going to be ready to manifest Christ coming out of you. Christ is going to start coming out of you. First he forms Christ in you, and then Christ comes out of you. And when we can know who we are in Christ, man, we can walk greater than it. Jesus said, you know, greater works that you will do, you know, because you believe in me. And we're going to see people fall over when we walk past them. We're going to see people healed by our shadow. We're going to see people just in towns and villages. They're just going to start bringing people out and laying them before us, and we'll just walk past them and not even say a word, and they just jump up and start praising God, you know? Hallelujah. Imagine walking in Tesco's and they shut their shop down because there's a revival in there. Hallelujah. But yeah, the Lord's doing awesome things. I'll just quickly tell one more thing. The Lord gave me a dream the other night. The second time the Lord's given me a dream about levitating. I think the Lord wants to do great things. But the dream was I was in Bethel Church. It didn't look like Bethel. It kind of looked like similar to this, but it's kind of older and stuff. And I walked in there, and everyone there, it was a school of supernatural ministry. All the kids there knew how to levitate, and they were all like, it sounds weird, but there's all these pieces of paper lying around, and they were like, you know when like you stand on a piece of paper and you kind of like, with your shoe, you mark it and stuff, and it kind of scruffled up. These papers lying around, and there was these guys just floating around the room levitating. Hallelujah. They were levitating around the room, and I was like, man, that's awesome. And then it was like a balcony like this as well. There's a lady up there, and she chucked me this piece of paper down, and she said, like, get on it. And so I got on the paper, and I just waited in the dream. I waited in the presence until the presence of God came, and the Holy Spirit came upon me, like the power of God came upon me. I started, like, you know, I felt it physically, and then I started to feel light, you know, and then all of a sudden I started lifting up. And I floated, like, up to that balcony level, and I was just looking down at everyone. And then that lady was up there, and I flew over to her. And then I think my brother, yeah, afterwards I came back down, and my brother, he came, and he was talking to me and stuff. And we were talking, and then for some reason he was looking around, and I was like, man, I'm going to levitate. I didn't tell him about levitating, and I said, I'm going to levitate. So I jumped on the paper, and I waited on the power of God, praise God, and I started lifting up. And I got up to about that high, to that, you know, there. And my brother's looking this way. I said, Sully! And he looks around, he's like, what? Like, you know, he freaked out in the dream, you know. I was just kind of scare him. And then it was awesome. And then I got down, and I gave him a piece of paper, and I tried to teach him how to do it. And he's lifted up about a meter or so, and then he fell off and stuff. And he was training how to levitate, you know. And then all of a sudden, in the dream, this church, Bethel School Supernatural Ministry, it turned into like the Harry Potter scene, like, you know, where they're shooting Harry Potter. they're shooting Harry Potter there. You know, like in Hollywood where they have the cameras and they made like a Harry Potter scene anyway. And then I saw like a little thing of Randy Clark in the corner, this little leaflet of Randy Clark. Anyway, I woke up and that day I wrote it down, and then I went on the tube. I was going somewhere, I can't remember. And I was just waiting on the power. I was speaking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, like, what does this mean, you know? And hang on, I wrote it down. Oh, hallelujah, I got my little notebook. It's got it in here. Oops. I'll be quick, sir. Oh yeah. And then the Lord told me that this is like a download, instant download from heaven. Holy Spirit told me that the Bethel School represents the church. Harry Potter, like the scene, represents the occult and the witchcraft. Levitating represents the signs and wonders the Lord is releasing to the church. However, when the glory is released, the witchcraft will also rise to great power and even will deceive Christians. The supernatural will be a common thing. There will be many who will be deceived in his body. Yeah, hallelujah. So the church, the supernatural, Bethel represents the church. Harry Potter represents the witchcraft and the occult. Levitating represents signs and wonders that the Lord's releasing. The Lord's going to be releasing crazy signs and wonders. You're going to see people walking, you know, like in the Old Testament, how, like, you know, Moses and Joshua, they just walked through dry land. You know, the seas just rose up. God's giving us power and authority over all of creation, you know. And so they walked across there. And then also, when my brother came along, the Lord said that he's going to raise up people and he's going to teach other Christians to do these signs and wonders. And so, yeah, the Lord's doing awesome things. And be excited. But the best place to be is in his presence, you know. Be close with him, because in the last days, you know, we're living in the last days, and the witchcraft is going to get crazy. Like, there's going to be people, I mean, there is people walking through walls and transporting and doing crazy things, and they can do it in the power of the devil or whatever. But God's going to raise us up to walk in greater power. Like, supernatural is going to be a common thing. Everyone's going to know about supernatural. People in the normal world, like, they don't even believe in God. They're going to believe in the supernatural. It's going to be a common thing, because it is already in Africa and Asia and South America, but in Europe, it's not. In Europe, people are stupid. They don't believe in God, you know. But yeah, bless you guys, and it's been a pleasure sharing with you. It's almost a sermon. Hallelujah. Sorry, Doc. There we are. Thank you,
Josh. Yeah, I'm preaching tonight because Les is not well. And but you got a bit of a sermon, so I'll try to make mine shorter. But isn't it great? I mean, I think that Josh is kind of raising the bar for us. And what God really wants is freedom. Amen. He created us for freedom, to be set free. And that's what I love, is to see what's happening in the church right now, where God is just doing awesome things. And, you know, and I've discovered that I'm quite religious. And if any of you are sort of struggling with this levitating and things, then maybe you're a bit religious as well. And I feel like God's taking us all on a journey into his heart. And a lot of the time, I'm discovering I'm quite religious. And so the Lord just took me today to a very interesting passage. So will you turn to Genesis? I mean, Galatians. What am I on about? Galatians, and I'm going to read it from different versions, so don't get too tied up with it. But, you know, the Galatian church was really caught up in law. And that's what God's been saying to me. You crazy Galatians. You crazy kingdom faithites. Did someone put a hex on you, talking about Harry Potter? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. This is in the message. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. Awesome. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. And then he said, answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them? That's what Josh was talking to us about. Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. And so the whole way through Galatians, Paul is giving us this picture of Hagar, who was the child of the slave. I mean, Ishmael was the child of the slave. He was the slave child. And on the other hand, Isaac was the son of promise. And we can choose every day to be either children of the slave or children of the promise. And that is our choice. And, you know, it's so clear all the way through Galatians, and I can't madly get into this, but one thing that Paul said in the NIV was, what has happened to all your joy? I've never noticed that passage before, never ever seen it before. What has happened to all your joy? You know, and I want to say to you guys, if you're not walking in joy, as Josh said, then we're not walking in the Spirit. Because the Spirit on the inside of us is amazing. His characteristic, his default, his DNA, his character, his personality is joy. And you know, when I got saved at All Souls, just along the road there, the guy who was preaching was saying, you know, as Christians, we need to outlive and outthink and outjoy the rest of the world. You know, we're not meant to sit on our brains, but we're not meant to be controlled by our brains either. And so I believe there's this incredible, wonderful tension that we walk in as believers, you know, that there's always the holiness of God and the love of God. We hold in tension. But there's also this walk of joy in the Spirit. And what I've become aware of is that a lot of the time we can get so caught up in religious mindsets. And so, and I think it hits all of us, not only us at our age who've been around the church a long time. That's why I love hanging out with non-believers who become Christians, because they are so unreligious. It's fantastic. They don't have any clutter, you know? I mean, we've been praying about it in our morning time with Ruth every day. And you know that there's so many sort of traditions of men that we just receive and accept. You know what it's like? It's like, okay, we get saved. How do we get saved? By faith. Faith. All you had to do when you got saved was believe. Believe God exists, that he's there. Believe in Jesus, that Jesus has done it all. It's all finished. It's done. It's done. Your sin is done. Your sickness is finished. It's all finished on the cross. He declared it is finished. Okay? So we get saved by faith. And it's a work of God. And he tells us that he's, you know, got amazing, awesome plans for us. As Josh said, you know, God's got awesome plans for us. Such freedom and joy and liberty. And then we go to church. And we suddenly, somebody says to us, now you're a Christian, you must read 10 chapters of Scripture every day. So from this glorious Graceland, we start going into law. And then somebody says, now when you worship, you need to stand up and lift your hands. And so we do more law. And the Lord is, Holy Spirit's over here, and he's saying, but I want relationship with you. I just want relationship with you. I just want you to talk to me. I want relationship. I'm your father. I'm your husband. I'm your best friend. I'm your companion. I'm your helper. I'm everything you need. You don't need all that clutter. And so there's always this tension between the law and religion and grace and freedom. And you know, there's a kind of grace heresy going around the church at the moment, and some of us are quite wary of it. And there's a real extreme grace. And as Josh said, the Lord said, in the last days, many are going to be deceived. And it's not only going to be deceived by the occult type stuff, but it's also going to be deceived by a grace message that is extreme. And so, you know, because Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But, hold on. I actually wrote out some notes today. It's amazing. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. So we're in this battle all the time. We've got our sinful nature, which is called the flesh in some Bibles. And then we've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants us, he wants to be in charge in our lives. He wants us to be sons of God who have a relationship with Abba, Daddy, Father, and who are led by the Spirit. And I want to say, you know, that it's so easy to get into law. I was just thinking today, you know, if you're leading worship, for example, and you sing this amazing song and the Holy Spirit comes and, you know, all sorts of amazing things happen, then what's the easiest thing to do next week? Yeah, sing the same song because we had an awesome time there. There must be a special anointing on that song. And Holy Spirit saying, no, listen to me. It's relationship. It's relationship. It's not law. It's not how we're going to do it. You know, if you are used to having a quiet time with God every day, which is, I don't know, sometimes maybe God just yawns, you know, and says, oh, so boring hanging out with so-and-so, you know. They're just reading the same old passage. It doesn't mean anything to them. They're studying the word. But they're not meeting with me. And Paul said that. Or did Jesus say that? He said, you know, you study the word hoping to find me, but you don't come to me. Is that Jesus or Paul? Like, is it Jesus? Yeah. You know, and sometimes that happens so that people can get so caught up in the word, and we're studying the word and we, you know, we're taking out concordances and studying the Greek and the Hebrew and all of that stuff. Great. But it's to lead us to life in Him, to relationship with Him. And so that's the whole of life. Live by the Spirit, Paul says, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Simple. They are in conflict with each other. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Haha. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But only if you're led by the Spirit. So if you're getting into the flesh and you're thinking, okay, I'm free because, you know, it's for freedom that Jesus Christ has set me free. I can do what I like. Apparently, part of this heresy, this grace heresy, is that you know, you've been forgiven and that's it. You don't have to ask forgiveness again because all your sin is under the blood, finished, complete. But in 1 John, he still talks about if you have sin, he talks about if you say you have no sin, you are lying to yourselves. So there's always this tension, and I really believe what Holy Spirit is saying is that we need to, when we walk in the Spirit, we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. And we're in this place. And how do we know? You know, how do you know whether you're walking in the Spirit or walking in law or walking in the flesh? You know, and there's just such an easy thing because Paul just talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, self-control. So you know. You see, I was thinking, because I've been quite challenged recently because I think I'm quite religious. And so when people are really meeting with God in the Spirit and going crazy, I sometimes feel, oh, I find this a bit fleshy. And then the Lord convicted me yesterday morning and He said, what's more fleshy? Them being fleshy or you being judgy? And to God, I think He's much more interested in our hearts than our behavior. You see, what religion does is always about behavior. It's always, as I think Josh was saying, it's all about the externals. But what God's on about is our hearts. And so I think that people can be just as fleshy, you know, by judging others. But then people can also go a little bit crazy on that side and err on the other side. So the whole time it's this tension of just walking in the Spirit and not giving any space to the flesh. And it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And I believe that all of us walk in some kind of slavery. And you know what Josh was saying about loving ourselves is really relevant. Because it almost sounds like fleshy or a bit selfish to love myself. You know, my daughter Jo at Bethel often says to me, Mum, how are you feeling? And I get irritated by that because I say, well, it's not about my feelings. You know, and that's the kind of way I've been brought up. That's religion saying it doesn't matter about my feelings. Because God wants me to be whole. And he wants me, as Josh said, to love myself so that I can love other people. And if I've got big issues about myself, then I'm not free. And God came to set us free. And I think that the way to be the most free is to be set free from yourself. But you can only be set free from yourself when you love yourself. And I believe God just wants to do something now. Don't you? So let's just, Holy Spirit, we just hand this meeting over to you some more. And we just ask you to come now, God. Come now, God. I just want to be so free from religion. I want to be so set free from the feeling that I've got to fast in order to please you, that I've got to fast and pray in order to manifest your power in the streets. You know, that's a lie, guys. That is such a lie when we think that if I haven't prayed and fasted, that I'm going to go on the streets and I'm not going to be able to touch anyone's life because they're not going to get healed, because it depends on me. Because then we're thinking it depends on us. But it doesn't depend on us. It's completely the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we just want to yield ourselves to you right now. We just want to ask you to come. Holy Spirit, come. Come and wreck us, God. Come and wreck us. Wreck us. Set us free from our religious mindsets, God. Set us free from the flesh, God. Set us free from the need to perform. God, just set us free so that we can love you. Because it says in Galatians, it says that the most important thing is love working through faith. Or faith, no, faith working through love. That's what God's on about. It's faith, because we're the children of promise. We're the children of promise. God, I thank you for the promises that you have for every person in this place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You love every person here in such an incredible way. You've got promises for their lives, God. And sometimes, God, we're so set in our mindset of what we want you to do, how we want you to answer our prayers. God, we just want to hand over our lives to you again. I just believe that this is a kind of sovereign moment where the Lord's saying, just offer your bodies to me as living sacrifices. Just give yourselves to me once more. Just give yourselves to me once more. Tell me that I'm allowed to do anything I want in your life, because that's the problem, is when we want to be in control of our lives. We want to decide where I go, where I live, what am I going to do? Instead of saying to God, I'm yours. I'm completely yours. Just say it to him right now.
I'm yours.
Oh, Jesus, we are yours. We belong to you. Just start to stir your spirit. Just start to speak in tongues. Just stir your spirit now. If you want to stand, lie, kneel, whatever you want to do, but just meet with God, because he's here and he wants to meet with his kids. He just loves his kids. He says, give me my kids back. Let me take my kids back from religion, from dryness, from sadness. Oh, the Lord says, give me my kids back. Give me my sons and daughters. Give me my sons and daughters. I want them. I want them to be connected with me. The Lord says, you're trying to do again what he's already done. He's already done. You don't have to do anything. Anything to please God. All he wants is for you to believe him. That's all he wants, is to believe him. To believe that he's good. Oh, he's so good. God, right now, I just believe the Lord wants to set people free from a wrong mindset about God. Some of you see him as this heavy, heavy duty God sitting up there with a big finger and a stick. And he's watching you and he's saying, oh, if you're not good, I'm not going to give you anything. Whoa. And God is also saying, some of you, because God hasn't answered your prayers the way you wanted, you're kind of angry with him. And he just says, I want to set you free from that. Because you've got a little thought has crept in. The enemy has put it there that God is not good, that he doesn't answer prayer, that he's not faithful, that he's not powerful, or that he doesn't love you. It's fine for everyone else. I think some of you sat there when Josh was speaking and those guys and thought, but I'm not like that. I wish I could be, but I'm not like that. And so you just feel like that you're a stepchild, that God doesn't, that God's plans for your life aren't so amazing. And the Father just says to you, I'm good. He wants you to know he's good. Just right now, just repent. Just say to God, I'm sorry that I believed lies about you. So many of us believe lies about God. And so many of us believe lies about ourselves. We believe we're ugly. We believe we don't measure up. We believe we're not spiritual enough. We don't pray enough. We don't read the word enough. We believe lies from the pit of hell. The enemy's the accuser. He's there day and night, day and night, day and night, in your ear, telling you that your life is going to be a disaster. He's telling you such lies. And right now the Lord just says, just repent. Just give all that stuff to him. Just give him every lie. Give him every lie that you've believed. And some of them you still believe are the truth. But it's lies. Because God's plans for your life are good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The whole word is full of promises for your life. And you will have every promise you believe. You can have it. You can have it. But the enemy of your soul is continually coming and saying, but that doesn't work for you, or you're not good enough. He's always lying. And right now, you can resist him. Amen. The Lord says, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a guarantee. That's a promise. Whoa! So just tell God and speak to God. Speak to God right now. Oh, I just sense Father God just looking at this little congregation, and there's such a smile on his face. He just loves you guys so much. He loves the way you're so passionate when you come into his presence. He loves the way you want to be here at the Burns all night, because you're not doing it to perform or because anyone asked you to. You're just doing it because you love him and you want to be with him. And some of you can't do it, and he loves you for that. He says he's everybody's unique and special to him. He doesn't want anyone to try and conform to anyone else. He says, oh, he's saying to you right now, you are my unique child. Whoa, just receive that. I made you unique. I made you special. I put you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I made the nose that you hate. And I'm going to teach you to love your nose. That's God loves your nose. He made it. Whoa. And some of us hate our shape. And the Lord says, but I love the way I made you. Wow, thank you, God. God, I just want to release freedom in this place right now. I just take authority over every lie that every person's believed in Jesus' name. And I speak to the accuser right now, and I command you to take your hands off people's hearts, lives, minds in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God. I thank you for such a release of freedom in this place. Just minds coming into freedom. You have the mind of Christ. I release over you the mind of Christ. Now you will think like God thinks. Now you will see yourself like God sees. When you look the next time in the mirror, you're going to look and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't make a mess when you made me. You made me good. You made me great. You made me beautiful. Whoa! Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Whoa, he loves his kids. He just loves his kids. Have you ever heard of a father who doesn't think his baby is beautiful, even if you think it's ugly? There's no father in the world. And our Father is the perfect Father. Whoa. oh, and God, we just are so beset by media all the time, and such lies. And right now, he's just breaking those lies off you. Whoa. And especially somebody believes that they're never going to make it, that their past is always going to dictate their future. And God speaks to you right now, and he says, your past is not going to be your future. Your future is in my hands, and it's going to be a great future. And you're leaving tonight, the 12th, is it the 12th, 11th, whatever it is, of May, is a new beginning for you. Just receive that. Just receive that. Just receive God's affirmation, his love for you, his smile on you. He causes his face to shine upon you. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you. And some of you feel so guilty. And God says, but I've taken all that. When I look at you, I just see spotless. I see the righteousness of my Son on you. I see you clothed in a garment of righteousness. I don't see your sin. I don't see the past. It's gone. It's finished. It's under the blood. And so therefore, there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that there's no condemnation. And if there's any condemning voice, it's from the pit of hell. It's not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. He's always whispering wonderful, affirming words to you. And so I think we should break bread and just meet with God, you know, just whatever you need to say to God, whatever you need to hear from God, whatever you need to affirm. God's in this place. God, you are so in this place. And Father, we just want to tell you how much we love you. God, we just want more. We want more. We're so hungry. So hungry for more of you, God. So hungry to be free. Free in you, not to indulge our sinful nature, but God, to be free, to be really free, children of God. Free. Free. Free from self-worry. Free from sense of failures. Free from fear. Right now, God's just releasing people. Releasing you from fear. Fear of the future. Whoa. God is good. God is so good. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No problem too big for you. No illness too big for you. Your desire is to bless your children with health, and happiness and joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit.